Well, in my pregnancy, it was perfect, and that's why I was put on this magic green pathway that everyone, that the NHS talk about all the time. And if you're on that green pathway, you don't get any extra care, you just get the basic care all the way to the end. And but my pregnancy had been very good, and I can't complain, I don't enjoy it, but it was very good. So I ended up, I was due on the 10th of August, and I was about a week and a half late at this point, or just after that, and I went into labour during the night. So I waited till the morning and I phoned, and everything was fine, he was still moving. I phoned him up and they said that, just come straight in, it's not a problem, we'll check you out, which is really good, because you hear horror stories about them telling you not to come up. So that was good, they told me to come straight up, they checked me and I was only a centimetre, so they says, you only live around the corner, just go back and stay there. I says, that's fine, that wasn't a problem. So I managed to wait a few more hours, and then I went in about 4:30, and I was 4 centimetres dilated. She goes, that's fine, you can go upstairs. So after a few hours of waiting and moving around, went upstairs, and I was in the birthing pool for around 5 hours, and I was progressing normally at this point, just the same, the right amount. I got to about 7 centimetres, and then 3 hours later, I was still at 7 centimetres. So what they said was, well, if you want, we can burst your waters. And I said, all right, okay, so what is the difference between bursting my waters or breaking my waters and them going themselves? Because you've already spoke about how the baby can be born in the waters and there's nothing wrong with that. She says, oh, well, it's just, it goes a wee bit more painful and it goes in a lot quicker. So you could be holding your baby in 3 hours. And I says, there's no difference between them going themselves and you doing it. No, there's no difference. And I thought that was a bit strange. I says, well, if there is absolutely no difference, then okay, go ahead and do it. And they asked me where they want me to do it, and I didn't understand why they were asking me, because I was want them to tell me where to go. He says, do you want to stay in this room? Do you want to go in another room? I says, it makes no difference to me. You tell me where to go. I'm the patient. I've never done this before. Just where do you want to go? And they repeatedly asked me this question over and over again. I didn't understand why. But I says, well, if there's no difference, I'll just stay in here. And she goes, that's fine. So she burst my waters, and she noticed that there was meconium in my waters, which is a sign that a baby's in distress. And after watching all the programmes you see on TV, like One Born Every Minute and all that, you know that that's not a good sign. And you know that, that they're usually going to put you on a monitor and either that or deliver your baby. But she said, oh, there's no, it's fine, it's fine. We'll just monitor you from now. What we'll do is we'll just put a pad on it and we'll see if it gets any worse, and then we'll just watch you, but you can't go in the pool just now. And I says, oh, that's fine, that's not a problem. So went into the toilet, came back out, took a few contractions, tried to get a heart rate. They couldn't get a heart rate. But it was a student midwife, so she thought she'd got the wrong place. So they waited to the next contraction and they tried again. And she still couldn't get a heart rate, and the same thing as well, they thought they got the wrong place. So they waited to the next contraction, and the real midwife came over and checked for heart rate and realised she couldn't get it either. Trying not to panic me, she takes me through to another room to put me on the big one. And they still couldn't get one, but they had raised the alarm at that point. Which, from the point of the last time they got his heart rate and this point, was probably about 15-20 minutes. They hadn't had a heart rate at all. They hadn't checked for heart rate. So, which is not right. So, then that's when it all broke loose, and I was obviously knocked out and took surgery, and I had a cesarean section. But he'd already, his heart stopped, but they resuscitated him for 25 minutes, which is again unheard of. And because of the lack of oxygen he'd had, and because we don't know how long before that his heart stopped, and been stopping before that. So you've got all that time. There's obviously a lot of damage to the brain. So experts came and spoke to us and said that there was nothing coming from his brain, and they would advise to turn the machine off. So we did. We made that decision, and we turned the machine off 13 hours later, once I had woken up properly and was feeling a little bit more healthy. But afterwards, we got a meeting with him about 6 weeks later, and they said that they spoke to us as if we were idiots. Now, me and Stephen are both firefighters, and we both have been in situations where dynamic risk assessments are done, and then fact-finding investigations and stuff like that. And anything happens in our job, and any sort of death, any sort of injury, and there's a full investigation done. They turned around and told us that they spoke around about a cup of tea around about a table, and they decided there was nothing else they can do. At this point, I hadn't seen my notes, and they said, "We don't know what's happened. It's just one of these things." And we left that room dumbstruck, because we couldn't believe that these professionals were telling us this. So a couple of weeks later, we spoke to the paediatrician that first dealt with Joseph once he was born, and he said that his birth was his death, and that he didn't come out with a heart rate, is what they had told us. He came out white and floppy, and his heart had already stopped, so he doesn't know why they were telling us that his heart was still going when they were bringing him out. And it was just a couple of things that he was saying that we thought, I think there's something getting hidden here. Once I read my notes, I realised that they had changed times in my notes also, and that there was a lot, they'd made it so there was a lot less gap between the heartbeats getting checked, when that wasn't actually the case. It's quite clear in the notes that that's what's happened. And there's no any script to say that the reason why they've done it, so it looks like it's trying to get hidden. And we went back to the hospital again to ask about all these points, and the consultant this time was leaning towards us more, saying there's certain things that she would have done differently, but it's because she's a consultant and they're midwives, and kind of making excuses, it felt like. So we still left awfully angry. But we'd been given the wrong advice, and we'd been told to go to a lawyer, and the lawyer was no use. She wasn't very good. She didn't really know what she was talking about. So as time went on, I had obviously been pregnant twice again after that, which is stressful enough as it is. Going up to a different hospital, would never have used Crosshouse again. And we were going up there, and by the time Max was born, it was a couple of weeks before Joseph's third birthday, and the 3 years is the last you can put a formal complaint in. So we never, the lawyer took us right up to that point, and so we never got to do anything about it. So I thought we had lost our chance, and we're just really grateful that this, hopefully this gets our story out there, and maybe we can get something done about it.